Hey everybody, today we are debating how atheism and agnosticism are used and should be used, and we are starting right now.
How you guys doing?
Hey everybody, stoked to have you here. We have two awesome gentlemen. They've got energy, they've got excitement for this discussion. This is one that's been brewing for weeks. Basically, these two gentlemen have disagreements over the title at hand, and it's going to be a great discussion, I think. We appreciate you being here, and if this is your first time, feel free to hit that subscribe button. There's got a lot more debates coming up ahead in the future. Hopefully, we'll get to have these gentlemen on again. So, with that, I want to introduce these gentlemen first by just letting you know their links are down in the description. So, if you watch today and you're like, man, I really agree with them, that was off the hook, well, you can check out their material down below. Or even if you're like, oh, that's Steve McRae, the way he defines atheism drives me crazy. You know what? He's going to grow on you. You're going to learn to love him. So even if you disagree, just for the sake of being able to hear their arguments straight from them, you can check out their links. And so one last thing I want to do in terms of a quick house cleaning type thing is, before mentioning the upcoming debate, I want to let everybody know, because I almost always forget this, if you have questions during the debate, or I should say civil discourse, feel free to just put an at modern day debate in your chat comment in the live chat, and then just say a question for the Duke or a question for Steve, and then let us know what the question is, because once we know, we can compile it, and then we'll ask those questions at the end of the discussion. So with that, as mentioned, we have an upcoming debate we are thrilled about. Dr. Robert Price, Jesus mythicist and scholar, is going to be here debating Christian apologist Jonathan Sheffield. That is coming up on April 12th. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be epic. So very pumped up about that. And with that, don't want to waste any more time. We're going to let the debaters introduce themselves. So thanks so much for being here, gentlemen. We appreciate you coming on to Modern Day Debate. And if you guys would like to share a little bit about yourselves, we'd love to hear. So we'll start with Steve.
Well, I'm Steve McRae. I'm one of the co-hosts of the Non Sequitur Show with Kyle Curtis. I have my own channel, Steve McRae, where we talk about everything from science and philosophy, biology, theology, you name it. We get into some pretty deep discussions. I'm happy to be here today. I want to thank the Duke for actually taking me up on my offer. I've been waiting for about a year to have this discussion with somebody. I was on Twitter just asking, please somebody debate me on this, because I don't debate very often. This is only my third official, maybe fourth, if you count the one I had with Stated Clearly. But I really want to thank him for taking me up on that ahead of time. And yes, I got coffee. I found more coffee in my magic green cup.
All set. Oh, I love that it works with the green screen. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I pull it out of thin air, like magic.
That's really cool. So, and we also want to introduce Duke. If you want to share about yourselves, I can tell you, Duke's been a really pleasant person to engage with over email and Twitter. It's just been really smooth. And so, Duke, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Modern Day Debate. My name is actually, it's Akim Lee. That's my name. And I am a martial artist, martial arts instructor, and filmmaker. And this is my first debate, actually. I've never really debated on atheism and agnosticism, except when it comes to just discussions with my friends and family. So this will be interesting. Please be patient with me as I try to keep my notes in order and my thoughts in order. But yeah, that's basically it.
If I win, you're not going to beat me up, are you?
No, I'm not.
Because I'm sure you can, trust me. James could beat me up. Not that intimidating.
Wait a minute, what does that mean? Does that mean, like, even James could
beat me up?
What
does that tell you?
Well, we're stoked for this conversation. So with that, we'll get the ball rolling. Beforehand, the speakers discussed and decided that the Duke or Akim would go first. And so the floor is yours.
All right, thank you. Okay, so first, I want to address exactly how this debate started. Me and Steve have been talking online for a few months, and most of the interactions have been about the usages of the words atheism, agnosticism, and agnostic atheist, and all of that. I don't want to strawman Steve, so I just want to give a quick understanding of what I've gathered from him so far, and that's basically he does not want to be called or referred to as an atheist. And so I'm just going to read something quick. Oh, and never mind. I'm not going to read that. But I asked him online if he believes a god or any god exists. And his answer was no. So my argument was that makes him an atheist. Now, what kind of an atheist? That's up to him. Whether he knows there's no god, whether he doesn't know there's no god, it doesn't really matter. I use the term to mean an umbrella that encompasses all persons who just do not have a belief in a god. And for some reason, he does not agree with that definition. And the bottom line is, well, if I have one way of defining a word and he has one way of defining a word, how do we justify that? Well, I'm going to go to my book or my school or my dictionary or whatever, and he's going to go to his book and his school and his dictionary or whatever. And that would mean that I have a justifiable reason for believing why I believe atheism means what it means. He has a justifiable reason for believing what atheism means to him. My argument is that his dictionary, his school, his way of figuring out what it means is incorrect. So that's my position. I hope I have Steve's position correct, but that is my argument. His dictionary, his school in philosophy, whatever it means, the way that they define atheism is incorrect, or it's not modern, or it's failed to be updated. That's it.
My turn, I guess. Okay. I don't think he's strawmanning me. I kind of agree mostly what he said, except for obviously towards the end there. Let me just read out my thing that I wrote on this, because I think it kind of addresses what he just said. This debate is going to be on how the terms atheism and agnosticism are used in philosophy and if they're valid. Basically, I'm going to be showing material facts that are consistent and rigorously used in philosophy of how these terms are generally going to be used when you want to read a peer review paper and that, when you want to understand the concepts. He's going to be arguing, I think, more definitional things, which I'm not going to get too much into, although I will address his concerns. But I think the argument is really how are these words used in field as opposed to like in small atheist groups, and what are the context of the words, right? Context always takes precedence over the semantic, quote unquote, definitions of a word, because definitions are descriptive, they're not prescriptive. So I'm going to break this down into two parts when we have this discussion. One is going to be the material facts, which I don't think are really that questionable as far as if you go look in the literature, what you're going to find, and then the persuasive argument of which way should we use these terms, the way that I promote or the way that the Duke promotes. I will say ahead of time, there are some assumptions that I'll be making in my presentations and discussions. When I say God, I'm going to include gods and any type of non-natural deity. It's just a shorthand. When we say atheism is the belief that God exists, it also includes any kind of gods. We understand that polytheism would be included in that type of nomenclature. So it's just a shorthand way of saying that a theist believes some type of God exists, or at least one God exists. I'm also going to be using the terminology in the way that the established literature uses it, although I understand the way the Duke uses it. Not a problem. We can communicate, even though he uses these terms differently. I will say this, though. I think the goal of this debate is actually to see what these words are actually used by philosophers. And I think that's critical because a lot of atheist channels don't put that information out. They'll recognize that these words are polysemous, meaning that they have more than one meaning, but then they don't really describe what these meanings or usages are external to their own groups. And I think that's a disservice because some atheists have the mindset that these words are only used one way. And by them thinking that, they have some severe misconceptions, because when I use these terms, I'm not using them incorrectly, as the Duke maintains, nor are these definitions correct or incorrect, and they're not using them wrong. Wrong is a value judgment. When we were on Twitter, he actually had said that the terminology is wrong. Well, wrong is a value judgment. It's basically getting now into ethics and what is right and what is wrong, what is permissible and impermissible. And I don't think that's how he meant it. But again, when you use the terminology like that, it changes the dialogue. And so I'm going to be arguing more which a better use, utility-wise, rather than if something's right or wrong, because these words are not right or wrong. There's no objective definition. Dictionaries do not define words. What they do is they tell you the most general usage. But unlike a mathematical definition, which, like, for example, 0 factorial equals 1, that is defined to be the case. So if you see 0 factorial, you know that is equal to 1. That is defined to be that. So you can say by definition. But when you read a dictionary, that's not what it's saying. It's saying that this is just how it's used, but it's not saying it is defined to be this. It's not prescriptively telling you that. That's all I got for my opener, though. So does that address your concerns, Duke, on that?
No, I pretty much understand that from the discussions I've seen on Twitter, that that's what you hold. And I guess what I mean to say is, so you come from a school or a community of philosophers, and that you want it understood that in that realm or in that community, this is what the word means. So when talking, if you're in that field or if you're in that profession, that's the context. And so when you understand the context, the words have a specific meaning.
Correct. Do you agree with that? I mean, do you agree that if I have citations, and you've seen them and other people have seen them, of papers that use the terminology the way I do, would you agree that is how it's more often used in the field of philosophy?
Sure. Okay. And I'm not in the field of philosophy.
Okay.
And I'm willing to bet that the majority of people on Twitter, where we have met, are not in the field of philosophy. So that's why it doesn't really matter to me. What matters to me is really colloquially. So if, let's say, for example, a screenwriter understands the word scene to mean two different things, okay? So a scene to a person that doesn't make a film, and I mean anyone who makes films, whether they're a screenwriter or director or producer, whatever, they understand that the average Joe walking down the street is going to identify a scene as one thing, whereas a screenwriter is going to know that a scene is something different, not that much different, but it's different. However, if that screenwriter is walking down the street and meets a person and says, I love your script, I love this movie, I love the scene where the man jumps off the building into the car and explodes, I love that scene so much, he's not going to say, that's not the proper definition of a scene. He understands the context, and he understands that what he means by scene is slightly different than what he means. He's not incorrect. None of them are incorrect. It's also possible for two screenwriters to meet and say, hey, that scene that you wrote about whatchamacallit with Indiana Jones jumping out of the building, dodging a big ball, I love that scene. Both of those screenwriters understand that they don't mean the actual literal scene definition that's met on the page, but the colloquial scene of a general sequence of things happening. So the thing is, my issue is not so much that, oh, well, in the context of philosophy, a scene means this, not a scene, sorry, an atheist means this. It's that when we're on Twitter and you're talking to people, you make it very adamant that you are not an atheist. I can't stand it when people say I'm an atheist. When you know the context at which they are in, that they are trying to address you by. So that's why we've been having this argument, like, why are you coming at us as if everyone is understanding what the school of philosophy teaches?
All right, there's a few things to address here. First, I do want to establish that atheism, as you agree, is a positive belief in philosophy, because a few people haven't recognized that yet. That's something we do not disagree on, correct? As best understood in philosophy, almost ubiquitously, atheism is the belief that there are no gods, or that theism is false, or the rejection of theism, or the disbelief of theism, which means...
No, I disagree with you.
Well, you said earlier that you agree the way I use my terminology is how it's found in the literature. You said that earlier.
No, that's not what I said. I said I agree that the way you define atheism is through philosophy, through your thing of philosophy. Your school, your definition, I understand how you use the word.
So, all right, so let me clarify here, because I want to make sure that we're on the same page here.
Sure.
My argument is, one of my many arguments, is very simple, that if you go read the literature, atheism is much more used, again, I'm going to avoid words like definition, much more used to be understood as the positive belief that gods do not exist. And I'll give you my citations.
Okay.
Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy, Internet Encyclopedia of Philosophy, Cambridge, Oxford's Learner, Merriam-Webster's Learner, Dr. Oppy, Dr. Flew, Dr. Mosley, Dr. Malik, and numerous others. So, I mean, I could bring the citations if you wish. I don't think that you really want me to right now.
No, okay. That's fine. No, that's fine that you have your own citations. Those are your...
Do you have anything that disagrees with that?
Right, I disagree with that.
No, no, do you have any evidence that that's not how it's used in philosophy?
No, I'm not arguing about how it is used in philosophy. I'm arguing that use is wrong.
Okay, well, one step at a time, because, again, my argument is, first, not if it's right or wrong, because those are value judgments. I am stipulating that anybody can go look at this and see that if you go read the literature, right, yes, the academics for the last couple hundred years, uh-huh, if you read a paper, when you see the word atheism or atheist, it's best understood by the context of the writer that it is someone who believes that God doesn't exist, or that the belief that God does not exist, right, if you're atheist and you're the person. So do you accept that, typically speaking, in philosophy, in the academia, that's how that word is typically used, right or wrong? Do you agree that that's how it's typically used?
I would have to agree with you. I haven't read your literature, but I'd have to agree with you, okay, that that's how it's used.
Okay, so let's move on from there then. Okay, okay. I want that established, because, again, a lot of atheist channels don't put that information out there. They maintain there's only one usage. They'll say that words are polysemous, but then they'll say, oh, but we're only using
it. Let's talk about us instead of talking about other people.
All right, so to your argument about me being an atheist, the problem is that you can mirror that very easily. I have a proof out there. Anybody can go look at it. It's on www.greatdebatecommunity.com. It's under weak atheism equals agnosticism equals weak theism. And let me explain what I mean by this. If given the proposition of theism, is God exist, right? If you don't affirm that, you're suggesting that makes you a weak atheist, and you're just calling that atheism, correct?
Okay, I'm trying to follow, just so you know.
All right, I'll say it again. Just like you, and I respect you for this, you don't want a straw man, neither do I.
Right.
And I love that kind of conversation, because what's the point of arguing and defending a straw man, right? Yeah. So if the proposition is God exists, mm-hmm, the theist affirms that, right? The theist says, I believe that to be true. They believe God exists. That's the predicate of the proposition. So the proposition is God exists. The predicate is belief. So when I use the notation BP, that means believes the proposition. So the theist affirms that. They say, yes, ontologically, there exists a God out there somewhere in the universe, somewhere in the reality, God exists. Would you agree that's what a theist would do?
Not necessarily. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
The key word that's important is believe. If the proposition is a God exists, the theist believes the proposition, believes a God exists.
Yes.
It's important that it's very extremely important that you do not skip over the word belief.
I'm not. I mean, we all have beliefs.
You are. I'm just saying that
you have beliefs, right? I mean, you believe that I exist, right?
I believe you exist, yes.
Okay, so a theist believes God exists, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know where we're having a disconnect then.
No, there's no disconnect. I'm just saying that it's important that we say belief.
Okay, so you can say belief, you can say think, you can say affirm. They're all the same thing.
Those are two different things.
They all indicate the same thing. The theist affirms the proposition. That means the propositional attitude is belief. So when you affirm a proposition, you believe it. When you disaffirm it, when you say that it's not true, you disbelieve it. So if I say I believe P, that means I'm affirming the propositional content to be the case.
Okay.
If I disbelieve P, that is saying that I think the propositional content is false. And again, there are atheists out there when they say disbelief doesn't mean that, they say disbelief is just not believing. That goes against everything that you ever read in Logic 101 and Philosophy 101, and what's called propositional attitude.
Your sources.
Yeah, and if you have any other sources that disagree with mine, present them, because I'll present mine if you wish. Or you can accept them arguendo.
Present my argument. I mean, I do have my sources. I mean, you know, it's not like I've taken a course in philosophy, but I don't think that you have to take a course in philosophy to understand the difference about belief and non-belief, and knowing something and not knowing something.
That's not what I said. The word disbelief.
Meaning,
the word disbelief means that the word disbelief in the literature indicates that you are thinking that the proposition is false. Do you accept that?
Give me a second.
And again, I can show the evidence for this. I, if anybody wants to look at it, they can, but I'm hoping that you just take it out your window, so I don't need to.
I disagree with disbelief.
Okay, so can I screen share then?
Sure.
Yep.
Well, we're on Zoom, so I guess we can. So, all right. So I wrote this. I wrote this back when this was an article that I wrote, or blog that I wrote. Let me see if I can screen share here. Okay. Are you seeing the screen here that I'm rolling?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you look at my evidence here, I'm just going to scroll at the very bottom here. Disbelief is commonly used to express a mental opposition which does not imply a blameworthy disregard of evidence, right? People say, well, I don't believe because of lack of evidence. That's not disbelief. Unbelief may simply be failure to believe from lack of evidence or knowledge. So there's a difference between belief and unbelief, and I think they get conflated. But if you actually go further, this is from Rutgers, Philosophy 101. Belief, disbelief, and suspension of judgments are three cognitive or epistemic attitudes one can take towards a proposition. These are the following. Belief. If you conclude that a proposition is true, then the appropriate attitude towards the proposition is belief. So if I think that is true, I believe P. Disbelief. If you conclude that a proposition is false, then the appropriate attitude toward that proposition is disbelief. If I think the proposition is not true or false, I disbelieve it. Then the third epistemic would be suspension of judgment. It means I don't have evaluation either way. I don't say it's P or P is true. I don't say P is false. I am unable to have a conclusion. I suspend judgment on it. And I'm agnostic on the proposition. Those are the three main epistemic states. Now, do you disagree with these? And this is Rutgers. So if you disagree with it, I would ask that you present me a source that shows this not to be the case.
Or I can use a logical argument as to why it could be incorrect. Like, why do I have to present a source?
Because I'm asking you, this is how it is in philosophy, not asking if it's right or wrong. I'm stipulating that this is how it's actually used in the literature. So if you disagree with that, then you have to show me that that's not how it's used in the literature.
That's not what I'm arguing. I am not trying to argue with you that how it's used in literature is not the way it's used. That's not my argument.
I want to make sure that. So you do agree that when I say disbelief is used that way, that is actually how it's used in the.
I'll have to take your word for it. That's fine.
All right. So let's move on from there then. If you accept that part, so you asked me why I'm not an atheist. So again, and I don't know how this took so long to get there. God exists. If a person affirms that, they are a theist. Would you agree that?
A person that believes in God is a theist.
Okay.
If someone says there's a God and someone says I believe it, then they're a theist.
Okay. If the proposition is God exists and you don't affirm that, you would call that a weak atheist, correct?
I don't a person that does not believe the claim of a God.
Yeah.
Yes, weak atheist.
And you're just shortening that and you're calling that atheism, right?
I'm calling that atheism.
All right. Now, let's mirror that. Now, this is where it gets into some kind of logical consistency here. Let's mirror that. If the proposition is not framed in terms of theism, let's say it's in terms of the negation of theism. I want to take God exists and I want to reframe that as God does not exist. If you affirm that, you would agree that's atheism still. I mean, somebody who says there's no God is clearly an atheist. They clearly lack a belief, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now the theist can say, well, if you don't affirm that proposition, you're a weak theist. And then you just shorten that and we're going to call that theism.
Because it doesn't make sense to mirror that.
It's logic.
It doesn't make sense to mirror that.
There's a dichotomy there, right? God exists or God does not exist. That's a dichotomy.
Here's the thing. You're saying that being a theist is affirming that a God exists. And you do not have to affirm that a God exists. You just have to believe it. This is the thing. You're saying that
believing and affirming means the same thing.
You're acting as if it's completely and total equal opposites. And it's not necessarily the case. Because you're not considering the third party in this, the religion. Let's just call the proposition the religion. The religion makes the claim that a God exists. So a group of people believes it, that makes them the theist.
Right.
The third party is the atheist who does not agree with it, they do not believe it, that makes them an atheist.
Okay, I'm trying to really make it very simple, and I'm not trying to be disparaging.
No,
but
I understand. I've heard this argument before, and I don't agree with it.
But you're disagreeing with logic here. Again, would you agree? And let's start from the basics that we're going to be framing this in classical logic. Now, I can talk about a little bit about other types of logic that I have, even though I'm not formally schooled in any of them. I just have an interest in them. But classical logic is pretty simple, right? There's a thing called the law of excluded middle. Either the proposition is true or it's false. Mm-hmm. A dichotomy would be ontologically that there is the case that God exists or it is the case that God does not exist. There's no middle ground to be had there. It's one or the other. Would you agree?
Sure.
Okay. So if you affirm that, then you are a theist. If you don't affirm it, you're saying that you're a weak atheist or you're going to shorten that to atheist, right?
To get rid of some confusion, let's be clear about what affirm means. If you are
I think
the religion,
that it's true.
You think it's true.
Yeah.
That God exists.
Yeah. You're affirming the proposition. You're saying that the propositional content is the case. The way it works is this. The proposition has a propositional content. and that propositional content is the state of affairs of the universe. This is called correspondence theory of truth, such that there's a fact that exists that makes something true. So why, if you say, you know, what the sky is blue, what makes the sky blue? Because it's a fact that the sky is blue, on, you know, typically speaking, there's some kind of ontological existence there that is the case that makes that proposition true, right? It's called a truth maker.
Correct.
Okay, so if God exists, then the proposition God exists is true.
True.
But the person is making an evaluation of the proposition. The person is saying, I believe that to be the case. The theist says, I believe that it is the case that God exists.
But that's not the only position a theist can have.
But that's what I'm not following you because...
Because this is what I'm saying.
What do you mean that's not the only position the theist can have? Either the theist believes God exists or the theist does not believe God exists. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground there.
A theist believes God exists. A theist believes. Okay.
Okay. So that you agree there's no middle ground between I believe and I don't believe in classical. Now, again, in other forms of logic, there's different, and I have on my blog weird variations of this, but we're going to be sticking strictly with classical. I believe or
sure,
I don't
sure.
believe. Okay.
Yeah, got it.
So if you take that same proposition and
yes.
you change it to God does not exist,
uh-huh.
you don't affirm that either, right? Personally.
I do not affirm that God does not exist.
Okay. So in philosophy...
Wait. To be honest about my position.
Mm-hmm.
See, this, I'm still a little bit hazy on the word affirm. I don't understand why we can't use...
Affirm means belief. You think it's to be the case or belief or... What word... Again, these are conceptual things. I don't... care what words people use. People think that for some reason I'm trying to convince people that you have to use a word a specific way. No. My argument has 6 years has always been this is how it's typically used in philosophy, but context is where it matters, not
Good.
The terminology.
So, great. So how about, just for clarity, how about we get rid of affirm?
What do you want to call the position that says the proposition's true? Pick anything you want. You can make up a word. It makes no difference. Again, words are simple.
Say the word belief. How about we just go with belief?
Words are, but do you realize that words have no intrinsic meaning? Words are just symbols.
I understand that, but you said...
They're signifiers is what they are.
You said...
They signify something.
What's most important is that we understand the concept. So now we have a new word,
okay.
where I'm a little bit hazy on the exact...
Think it's a new word?
So let's pick a different word if it still helps the conversation.
Affirm, think, believe.
I just said
you
believe.
A belief. Okay, before you were against the word belief. Now we're going back
I
to belief. Okay.
The word belief.
All right, so the theist believes in the God. Okay, but again, now if the proposition is God does not exist, would you agree that that if you affirm that, you are an atheist?
You're still using the word affirm.
Okay, sorry, if you believe that,
uh-huh.
you're an atheist.
If I believe a God does not exist, I'm an atheist.
Okay, now, if you don't affirm that, you're a weak If you're a weak theist, would you?
You're
would
still
you
using the word affirm.
Oh, believe. I'm sorry. I just have it. So,
okay.
If you don't believe that, you are a weak theist.
Not necessarily.
Then you're being not consistent.
Let's say that again. Say that again, please. Say it again, so that we're clear.
If the proposition is God does not exist,
God does not exist,
and you do not believe that,
and I don't believe that.
You are a weak theist. By the same token, if you don't affirm, or excuse me, don't believe the proposition,
no, I can be an
God.
Atheist. Because if someone
doesn't affirm that, it does, in your view.
Please, let me say something. If someone makes a proposition that a God does not exist, and I don't believe that proposition, I can still be an atheist. Because that's a positive...
I'm fine with that, but you're missing the point. You're also still... what you are is you're a weak atheist and you're a weak theist if you don't affirm either one. This is going to get into the crux of this. When the third epistemic position that we talked about, what's called suspending judgment, is where you say, I don't have a position on the proposition. I don't believe that it's true, and I don't believe that it's false. That's called agnostic on P. Do you agree with that? That's
okay.
Generally what it's referred to.
Wait, I'm sorry. Very sorry. Say that again, because I feel like we're on a different thing now.
When you suspend judgment, which means I try to evaluate a proposition, and I can't reach a conclusion, and I say I do not believe that the proposition is true, and I do not believe the proposition is false.
We are on something different. We've moved away from believing a proposition because we've had two very clear propositions, and I'm not trying to be a pain in the ass, but we've had two different propositions. One of those was a God exists. The other proposition was a God does not exist. Those are two positive
Right, let's frame this in one prop.
Let me make my point. Please, let me make my point. Okay? What I'm trying to say is, as an atheist, I can reject both the positive claim that a God does exist and that a God does not exist. That doesn't mean I'm taking a... What that means is that I don't believe. Theist means believe. That doesn't mean I'm both a weak theist and a weak atheist. A weak theist is someone who believes. I don't believe. So that doesn't make me a weak theist. Oh, that's what I'm trying to point. Okay. That the mirror type of analogy doesn't work.
There's a huge problem here. And I don't know why you're not seeing it. Maybe I'm explaining it properly and I'll take the hit for that. I'm trying very, very much to break this down into very simplistic terms here. If you have a proposition and you don't believe it, right, you're calling that weak on that position. You're saying weak atheist. A weak atheist is somebody who doesn't believe the proposition is true. Whatever the proposition is, you're saying that if you don't believe the proposition is true, you're weak on that proposition, correct?
Mm.
That's exactly what you're saying here, Duke. I'm not trying to mislead you. I'm telling you, you're literally saying that if you're not saying that you believe the proposition is true, you're not saying that it's false, you're just saying that you don't believe it, you're calling that weak atheism, weak whatever.
Sure.
Okay, fair enough. You have to apply that ubiquitously. You have to be consistent. If the proposition is different and the proposition is now God does not exist, if you do not believe that, you're now weak whatever. So the theist would normally affirm, would say that's false, right? A theist would say God does not exist is false. So if you're not affirming that to be the case, that it's false, you are a weak theist. This is why it's important to understand.
Okay.
Well, let me finish.
Okay.
This is why it's important to understand agnostic on the proposition.
But you can't be both a weak theist and a weak atheist.
You can't using your terminology. That's the problem, okay? Let me explain why. Do you understand what it means when I say agnostic on the proposition, that epistemic position?
When you say agnostic on a proposition, means you don't take a stance on the proposition.
Okay, so that means I neither believe it nor that I disbelieve it, correct?
Correct.
Okay, now, logically, that literally means that you are not BP, weak on that position, right? So if I have agnosticism, and I'm going to do it in the logic form, not believing P or not BP and not believe not P. Right, so I have not BP and not B, not P. Would you agree with that? Okay, so not BP here is weak atheism. Not B, not P is weak theism. So agnosticism is just a combined of weak theism and weak atheism. If you look at it logically like that, if you're not affirming anything, you're not saying I take a position, you're agnostic on the proposition. You do accept that much.
Okay, so if you don't take a position on it, then you can call yourself an atheist. That doesn't speak to what you believe or don't believe. You haven't made a statement about it.
Well, you are making a statement. You're making a statement that you don't have a belief, right? That is a position in the case that you believe that you don't have a belief, right? You do. There's something weird when it comes to dosastic reasoning. That when you believe something, you also believe that you believe it. Just like if you know it. So that's called the K principle. But a normal reasoner would say that if I believe something, a normal reasoner in dosastic logic is I believe that I believe.
Yes.
Okay, it's called a normal reasoner. There's other types of reasoners out there, like Moore's paradox would say that it's raining, but I don't believe that it's raining, which is a weird thing that you can end up with. So it'd be believes P, but doesn't believe that they believe P. Anyways, we're getting sidetracked. So I just want to make sure that you do agree so far, because this discussion is heavily on my use of agnosticism, that there is a position you can have towards the theist proposition, God exists, where
it's not a proposition, and that's where we disagree.
God exists as a proposition.
A proposition.
You don't think God exists as a proposition?
Theist is not a proposition.
Theist represents, when you say theist, what you're saying is that person believes the proposition is true. So when you say the proposition of theism, what you're saying is the proposition of theism is that God exists.
And you're talking from that school of philosophy that I'm saying that's not how most people think about it, and I disagree with it.
That makes no difference how most people think of it. This is how it actually is in the field. This is like saying...
That's wonderful that it's in the field.
But you agree with that. You agree with it in the field. Okay, so I just want to make sure that you're not saying that what I'm saying is wrong, though.
We're talking over each other.
Do you agree that what I'm saying is not wrong as it's laid out in the field? In philosophy.
In the field, your field, you're correct.
Okay, great.
If you're in your field and your field defines a cow as a two-legged person who puts on clothes and goes to work, then I'm going to agree with you that a human being is a cow in your field. You can make any word mean whatever you want.
Well, these aren't words so much. These are concepts. Again, I don't want to get bogged down. You're focused on the terminology and not understanding the concept, I don't think, right?
No, I understand your concept. All right,
so if you understand the concepts, if you don't evaluate the proposition, and I call that agnostic on the proposition, you're okay with that, though, right?
Say that again. Are you talking about you personally?
Yeah. If I don't affirm or deny the proposition.
I don't believe one way or another. But see, the thing, you don't have to, and you're still using the word affirm. I'm a little hazy on affirm. I prefer that we do not use affirm. We use something like believe or
okay.
No.
Again, just habit.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Okay. So I'm saying that if I don't believe either way, that would be in the literature agnostic on the proposition.
But what either way? What do you mean?
I don't believe the proposition is true, and I don't believe the proposition is false.
That a God exists.
Right. That's agnostic on the proposition, correct?
Yes, because I'm an agnostic.
Okay, so well, are you agnostic or you're an atheist or?
I'm both.
You're both.
I don't believe that a God exists. I don't believe a God does not exist, and this is the colloquial understanding, the colloquial usage that you're opposed to.
Well, it's not that I'm opposed to the colloquial uses. You have to understand that. If you're going to have the colloquial uses, you have to take the baggage that goes along with it, which hopefully we'll get into. There's a lot of baggage that gets into the colloquial usage. My argument's always been this, though, and again, this goes back to the very beginning. We have to agree, and I think you've been kind of wishy-washy on this, no offense, but we have to agree that this is how it is taught and understood to be in the literature.
In your literature.
Okay, so that material, so the material facts I'm putting out, people can go verify. We've agreed upon the material facts. Because, again, atheists seem to question that sometimes, and I don't want to go further in the material facts.
Right. I'm trying to tell you I disagree with that.
Okay. Okay, so
I disagree with your
what literature. Is it you disagree with, then?
I disagree that it's the way that you have it as binary is not necessarily accurate. What I'm trying to say is, in terms of the definition of atheist, please tell me, what is your usage of the word atheist?
The way it's typically used in philosophy as per every academic source that I've given you.
Fine, wonderful. So when someone
when
someone on Twitter is talking to you and refers to you as an atheist, why do you come back and say that they are incorrect?
Because I'm not an atheist because I don't use those terminologies. That's like saying a theist saying, hey, why you do reject a theist telling you that you're a theist because of Romans 1? You know God exists. You're just rejecting him in your righteousness.
Well, they're using their literature. And now we're arguing that their literature is wrong.
Okay, so...
They're using their literature.
Okay, but I'm calling you a theist because of Romans 1. Are you a theist?
Let me say something. So a theist who believes in the Bible says everyone believes in God. So that means everyone is a theist. This person has what I would say justifiable reason to believe it because they have text that they can reference. I'm arguing that their text is wrong. Would you agree that if I tell them that their text is incorrect?
You can tell them that. I'm going to ask this question again.
Would you agree with that?
Sure. The way they're using it is wrong. Romans 1 doesn't actually interpret that way. Paul wasn't telling atheist people that that everybody believes God exists. He was talking about a very specific people that came from.
But hang on.
Let me ask you this. I'm telling you you're a theist because of Roman 1. Are you a theist? Yes or no?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so you're denying that, right? So you're using the same reasoning that I use to say why I'm not an atheist, because I reject your usage. There you go. Right. Now do you get it? That's why I'm not an atheist, because I reject your understanding of it, of colloquial terminology that I think is kind of absurd in
you
a case.
You think that I'm not getting something, but you keep arguing as if I am not attacking you. I'm attacking the text. Okay. I don't agree with your text.
And you don't have to agree with the text, but that doesn't give you.
You don't have to agree with the Bible. So where are we?
But Duke, you asked me an analogy, and I gave you an analogy. You say, Steve, why do you deny when somebody calls you an atheist? For the same reason why you deny calling yourself a theist. Just because somebody calls you something doesn't make it so.
Okay, so where do we go from there?
Do you agree then, because you're not a theist, I am not an atheist?
So, no, okay, so check this out. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Okay, great.
I understand what you're saying, that he believes, this person that believes in God, that believes in the Bible, believes I'm a theist. and he's going to swear that I am a theist. I swear I'm not. So one person says I am, and one person says I'm not. What is this third person supposed to believe? Who's correct? How are we supposed to use the word? Are we just all free to use words just the way that we want? Because that causes confusion.
Okay. The thing is, though, my way doesn't cause confusion because this is not difficult concepts to grasp. Anybody can understand this. Now, listen to me very carefully here. I understand how you use the terms.
Good.
Okay. I don't think it's that hard to understand the way I use these terms. You don't have to use them that way. But to say that people are not smart enough or something to understand the way I'm using these terms, I think is a little bit disparaging for them.
I didn't say that.
So let me ask you this. If I was a biologist, right, and I'm writing on Twitter, right, and I'm using words like theory and I'm using words like evolution, I'm going to use theory to be a well-substantiated body of evidence that explains and makes accurate predictions. I'm going to use evolution to be a change of allelic frequency in any given population from one generation to the next generation over time. That's how I'm going to use these words. Now, let's say you're a creationist and you say, Steve, that's not what these words mean in my terminology. I use colloquial terminology. Theory means guess and evolution means change. I'm going to reject that. Right. That's the same analogy here. I'm rejecting your colloquial use for myself. I'm not saying you have to change it. I'm not saying you have to use something different. But I'm on Twitter. I'm using it the way that I know how to use these words properly in context with the literature. And I want other people to understand how those words are used. In case they ever want to get an education, they can understand the papers, right? They can actually read a paper. Because I will tell you this, dude. If you go read the literature and you use the terminology the way you do, you're not going to understand any of these things. The paper's not going to make sense to you. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I get it.
Good, so, good.
Does the creationist have his own literature and text and institution that he goes to that tells him that theory means a wild guess and that scientists are making a wild guess as to how life has speciated on Earth?
Well, the dictionary says, I literally have somewhere I can find it for you if you really wish. Dictionary says that theory is a guess.
But there are also dictionaries that say that, one, it's a guess, and two, in the realm of science, it means a body of facts.
Okay, so but I but I'm choosing to use
dictionaries that have both definitions.
Right,
and use different ways.
Right, and you can use atheism the way you want. That's never been an argument, right? I think that's the point you're missing, is you're using it the way you use it. But atheists are now telling me that I have to use it the way they use it. You, matter of fact, you started off this discussion going on Twitter, people call you an atheist. Well, I don't have to use it the way they're using it because and you agree that I'm not an atheist according to philosophical definition. So why would you now argue that something different? I'm a little confused here.
Because I believe that your sources are incorrect.
What makes them incorrect? By what standard?
You're saying this is again.
I want people to recognize this is how. And no, I'm not trying to be demeaning. I'm really not. But I want people to understand this is how a creationist would argue that evolution doesn't mean what it means, or theory doesn't mean what it means.
No, it's not how. I'm not.
It really is.
Argument. No, I'm not. In fact, you haven't listened to what I'm going to say, all right? I'm really glad that you brought up... I'm moving. I have to go to a different room. I'm really glad that you brought up the creationist theory understanding, because there has to be a greater context to understand why a creationist is so adamant about not defining theory as a body of facts, because he belongs to an institution that is... Man, there's no light on me. He belongs to an institution that wants to destroy the theory of evolution. All of his best interests are attacked by the theory of evolution. So this is not an honest debate about what is the definition of theory, because an honest debate, you just go to the sources and you try to come to someone understanding. This isn't honest. They're trying to destroy science. They're trying to destroy any type of curiosity in how life began on Earth and how it has become diverse on Earth. We're talking about nefarious reasons for not defining theory as a scientific theory.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
My argument to you is, I'm not saying this is you, but again, attacking the text, attacking the school of philosophy. If you believe that your literature is really hundreds of years old and it's been used for this long, that helps my case, because the United States, I can only speak about this country, is more enlightened about the existence of God than it was 200 years ago, or 100 years ago, or 50 years ago. I mean, You can just.
I'm so glad you brought that up because this goes.
Let's talk about homosexuality.
Well, no, I'm not going to change the topic into something.
No, I'm not changing the topic. I'm talking about words and usages and how the words that are used as identity. The fact that we know for a fact that homosexuals existed since the beginning of human existence, but the word itself probably only existed, I don't know, 100 years to understand? So the understanding of it is completely different. And what I'm trying to say is the word atheism itself meant something 200 years ago or is used the way 200 years ago in a place where the church was way more dominant in our culture. The culture has changed. And when the culture changes and becomes more enlightened, there's way more nuance into understanding of, does God exist? Does it not exist? Do I believe it exists? Where do I stand on the position? All of these different positions probably didn't even exist 200, 300 years ago.
Okay, can I address this?
Sure.
I'm glad you brought this up. You talk about agendas. For the last couple hundred years, as you recognize, because I can go back to 1700, the word atheism has typically been understood, as we've already established, to have a positive belief that God does not exist. Okay, you've already agreed upon this. Now, the agenda was started. Right? You talk about agenda from creation.
Exactly.
Yeah, there is an agenda from the atheist. Okay, the American atheists have an agenda, and their agenda
I didn't interrupt you.
Can I please get this out?
No, wait. I want to be clear. The American atheist, the actual group started by Silverman. Or are you talking about?
Yes, American atheist by Silverman. Well, he didn't start American atheist. That was started by O'Hare. What is his name?
Madeline
O'Hare. Was it O'Hare?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. The lady. That's
yeah. Yes. Okay. So. The agenda for American Atheist, and this is straight from Pam Whistler, their editor-in-chief, told me this. One, she said, don't use American Atheist as a philosophical citation. Second, they have two things that their points are. One, they want to get as many people to use the word atheism to normalize it, and two, they want as many members as they can get. They don't care if it's philosophically sound or not.
Okay. Those,
that's their agenda.
Okay.
David Silliman has said his agenda is get dictionaries to change the word usage, to say lack of belief, and he doesn't care if it's philosophically sound or not. It doesn't matter to him.
Okay.
His goals are politically motivated because he wants to have as many atheists as possible for political reasons. This is not conspiracy. This is in his book, Fighting God.
Okay.
You can read about this. Okay.
Okay.
So, 1972, are you familiar with a paper called Presumption of Atheism?
No.
Okay. In 1972, a paper called Presumption of Atheism by Anthony Flew. Anthony Flew was a atheist philosopher who later in his life supposedly became more of a deist, who changed his argument on this. He actually realize there's some flaws with it, and there's some very good papers about why presumption of atheism is flawed. I'm not going to go into the details of that, why we have a system of innocence, but I will say that if you read that paper, Anthony Flew in 1972 acknowledges the usage of the word atheism to be the positive case. He's arguing what you're arguing, that it should be just merely a lack of belief. That's what he's saying. He's actually saying, I agree that in philosophy it's used as a positive belief, which some atheists still haven't recognized. But I want to be this. And this was unanimously rejected back in the day. It was picked up a little bit later in 1974 by a guy named Smith, George Smith, and he wrote a book called A Case Against God. And then other people picked it up, like Steve Bullivant and Martin, and a few other people that wrote about it. But they're not really – none of them admit that atheism is used the way you're claiming – you suggest it should be used in philosophy. They all seem to agree that in philosophy, typically it's used this way. Bullivant says there's no specific definition, which is right. I mean, words don't have intrinsic meanings, right? They don't have intrinsic definitions. Not like in math, where you say a triangle is divided by three sides. You don't say a definition is such that atheism is this, right? Okay, so the presumption of atheism was rejected. Now there's a modern way approach to that. There's a modern resurgence of that, and that's by American atheism. They have an agenda to try to get people to think that atheism is merely a lack of belief.
Great.
So that's agenda driven. That's ideological. That's not how it is in philosophy, which typically speaking, as you agree. So you talk about creationists having an agenda. Well, here's a case of atheism has an agenda too. I'm not agenda driven.
Okay.
This is why I can think critically about these things.
All right. So one group has an agenda and the other group has an agenda. I think one thing that we need to understand is the word atheist was not. My argument is that the church defined what atheism meant.
What was the original use of atheism? Or of an atheist?
I don't remember what the original use of atheism, but what I'm trying to say is the church.
Christians were atheists.
The church wants atheism.
No, listen to me very carefully. The original use of atheist, was to refer to Christians that didn't accept the Roman pantheon gods.
Okay.
Okay, so they believed a God exists, but they were called atheists because they were, quote, without gods, as people bring up the etymology. Etymological concerns are not how the words are used in modernity. So even though etymologically, yes, it is without gods, and it is true that all atheists are without gods, but so are other positions that are non-atheist, right? Agnostic is without gods, and agnostic is not atheism. But these words, like you said, do change, right? I have no problem with the words changing.
Right.
But for the last 300 years, this is how the word is accepted to be in the philosophical literature. And what you're saying is not just, I think it should be used differently, like Flew argues. You're making a value judgment and say it's used incorrectly.
Right. I mean, if I think a word
by what objective standard are you saying that it's incorrect? You're saying all philosophy is wrong. Why?
Sir, if I think a word should be used a certain way, that would mean people who use it differently would be incorrect.
Okay, but you're making a value judgment here.
What's wrong with making a value judgment?
That's fine, but you have to be able to substantiate that with evidence. What evidence are you using to show, not just your opinion? You're saying that it's wrong. What makes it wrong?
The reason why I think it's wrong is because theism to me means belief in God. Does theism mean belief in God? Can we all agree? Because this is what we're talking about. If everyone can agree that the word itself means this, so we can use that.
Well, again, it's used that way. Again, I don't want to get into meaning.
We have to agree on the word.
Is used to understand. Well, we don't agree. Because I'm telling you how it's actually used. And now you're saying not just that you want to
agree.
Not just that you're not saying that you're going to use it the way we use it in philosophy. I accept that. You're making a value judgment that the word itself usage is incorrect or
in
wrong.
Philosophy.
Okay, what makes it incorrect? Not just by you saying I want to use it differently. If I say 1 + 1 = 3, I can show you mathematically that's not the case.
Are you talking about mathematics? We're talking about language. That's two
different.
These
are analogies. Okay, analogous language means that I'm showing you that you're literally saying that it's incorrect, which means you need to show by proof or evidence that it's incorrect. Not just that you have a different usage, right? If I say, well, I'm using it differently. Okay, go ahead.
I'm trying to tell you. What is a theist? That's my question.
A theist is somebody who believes that there's a God.
A person that believes there's a God. What does A mean?
You mean like A an atheist?
Yes. What does A mean?
It's understood as per Dr. Paul Draper in the Standard Science Encyclopedia.
Paul Draper.
Why do you keep interrupting me?
Because we're talking about what we all agree on.
I'm explaining to you how it's used in the literature.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's fair to, you know, kind of quote where he got his definition from.
Yeah. So the standard for this, by which it is to best be understood, as per Stanford Encyclopedia, A is negation as in not. It actually says specifically, and I'll read it to you if you wish. I have it actually right here. Here we go. The A in atheism must be understood as the negation instead of absence, as in not with, instead of without. Therefore, at least in philosophy, atheism should be construed as the proposition that God does not exist. Okay, so what he's saying is that if you have the proposition God exists, the negation of that is God does not exist.
Yeah,
so,
I disagree with that.
Okay, well, that's logic. I mean, you're literally saying
it's not logic because you're changing what theist means, and a theist is not trying to say that God exists. A theist is belief. Belief. That's the key word here.
Okay.
We're not talking about a.
This is logic 101. You have P, and then you have not P. Belief of P or belief of not P is not a dichotomous.
Proposition. P, the proposition.
The proposition P is the case that God exists ontologically, or God does not exist ontologically. P or not P.
So a theist believes P, the proposition.
And an atheist believes not P in philosophy.
Wait a minute. No, it's not P. No, because you're bringing up the proposition. You don't need the proposition. You need the belief. Theist is belief.
You're talking about what's called a site.
Emphasis on the proposition. It's the belief. If someone tells you there's a God and you believe it, that makes you a theist. If I tell you there's a God and you don't believe, all that means is you don't believe. you are not asserting anything about the proposition other than your own belief. It's a statement on your mental acceptance of it.
Okay, what you're doing is what you're doing is you're conflating what's called a psychological belief with a propositional belief.
A psychological. Now we have another qualifier.
I'm explaining this to you. It's not necessarily qualifying. It is what it is. If you read Stanford, have you ever read Stanford Encyclopedia on this?
I read the pieces that you put online.
Okay, I would highly recommend actually reading the entire article. I really would recommend it.
You're acting as if I don't understand, and I understand.
I'm not trying to say you don't understand because I don't think you do, but I'm more arguing you haven't researched this as well as you need to actually make
understand.
The arguments that you're
you
trying to make.
You have to explain what I'm not understanding.
Okay.
Because I don't have to go to any papers. I got you. I want you to tell me what I'm not understanding.
Okay. Do you accept, again, in philosophy, I'm going to read it to you verbatim.
I don't know anything about philosophy. We're not talking about philosophy.
We are talking about philosophy. These are philosophical concepts.
I'm looking up at the sky. All right? All of us are looking up at the sky. We don't believe, college or anything.
Kim, I think.
All right, the moderator wants to, I'm sorry.
I hate to cut in. I think he's trying to say just like, he'll try to explain the philosophy, like what he's read in philosophy, and then ask if you agree with it. So I think he's not trying to turn the tables around.
All right. So. Atheism is typically defined in terms of theism. Theism, in turn, is best understood as a proposition, something that is either true or false. It is often defined as, quote, the belief that God exists. But here belief means something believed. It refers to the propositional content of belief, not to the attitude or psychological state of believing. The reason they do this is because you cannot test beliefs. You can test propositions. I can say a proposition is true or false. God exists is true or false. It's called truth apt. I can't test beliefs. And I can't, to me, it's true that you have the belief that God exists, or you have the belief that God does not exist. Sure. So a theist, it is true that they hold the belief, but that's not what we're really asking. We're not asking if it's true or false that somebody has the belief. What we're asking is ontologically, does God exist? So in the way these words are best understood in philosophy is that atheism is propositional, not psychological.
Well, do you understand that that's what my position is this entire time?
And you can have that position, but
yeah,
you're telling.
I'm not saying.
But you're saying my position is wrong. You're saying that philosophy is wrong.
That's not,
okay, but why?
You keep asking me, and every time I try to answer, you keep interrupting me.
You have all the time in the world. I'm curious why you think something's wrong by what objective standard you.
I believe it's wrong because it causes confusion.
That's what makes something wrong.
It causes way more confusion. The overwhelming majority of everyone in college is not taking courses in philosophy like this. Okay, so the common usage becomes, how do we all agree on how a word is supposed to be used? And you are using the school of philosophy as the absolute standard. You have become like,
no.
It's preaching as if this is the absolute standard on how to use the word.
Let me correct you on that because I don't like being straw man. Now you're straw manning me.
How am I straw manning? You're using the philosophy as your doctrine.
Let me finish. There is no absolute standard. James,
then why do you keep going back to it?
Okay,
James, please moderate this because I'm getting tired of being interrupted when I'm trying to explain something.
I think, Duke, if you're able to let Steve explain this, let's just kind of maybe if we break it into like a 2 minute, like at least 2 minutes for Steve to talk. And then if Steve wants to give up, like let's say he takes a minute and a half, he can say, okay, now I'm ready to, you know,
okay,
the Duke can respond.
Yes, I'll do that.
Yeah. You know, we started off, you accepting the way it is in philosophy. In the very beginning, you literally said, yes, that's I accept arguendo, or I accept that your evidence, and again, I can show all this evidence that this is how it's used in philosophy. Now you're moving into a psychological state, which is completely something different. But what I'm telling you is I'm not saying this is the absolute standard. I'm making the argument this is how it's used, just like I would say that in biology, evolution is a change of allelic frequency. That's how it's understood. That's material fact. You're telling me now that's not how it's used in philosophy, even though that's what you said before it was used in philosophy. So now, to me, what I hear is, oh, if this was a biological conversation, you're telling me that's not correct, that evolution is not a change of allelic frequency, right? That's how I'm hearing it. You're saying that's wrong. What makes the usages of this wrong? Not just that you don't agree with it, not your opinion, that's fine. But if you tell me that, if I say evolution is a change of allelic frequency and you say that's wrong, I'm going to request a citation from you that supports your position that is incorrect. Do you have a citation that in philosophy, what I'm telling people is incorrect?
Now you're asking me, why is it wrong? And then you're asking me if I have citation.
Correct.
No, I don't need to present any citation. Why do I have to present some sort of authority figure?
All right, so I can dismiss your claim outright.
You're also saying something that's not true about what I said. In terms of affirming or believing how it is described in philosophy or philosophical text, I agree with you. The way that you use the term is consistent with the philosophical text. I've been trying to say this the entire time. I disagree with the text.
Okay, you're saying the text is wrong, though.
Yes, it's wrong.
By what measurement is it wrong? If you wrote a paper, a dissenting paper, listen to me carefully here. If you say something's wrong, I need evidence that shows me wrong, not just your opinion that I'm wrong.
To convince you.
No, look at it. If you tell me that at evolution doesn't mean a change of relative frequency, I'm going to ask you for evidence. If you don't have that evidence, I'm going to dismiss your claim by Hitchens' razor right off the bat. I'm presenting evidence here. I haven't seen a single paper from you that you presented. I've never seen a single bit of evidence. Do you have any citation, any evidence, any paper that have you read that you can present that is anything I've said makes what I said incorrect?
So when you bring up evolution, there's the argument of whether evolution is true or not, and there's the argument of whether evolution is the word to be used to describe what you're talking about. That's two different things.
I'm not asking you if evolution is true or not. I'm saying that...
Using bad analogies.
These are not bad analogies.
Yes, it is.
Almost ubiquitously, the word evolution is best understood to infer a change of allele frequency in one population to the next population of species in a given species. The change of allele frequency in a given species from one population to the next population over time, from one generation to another generation. That's how it's best understood. You're telling me that would be wrong.
What do you mean?
In the analogy. Okay, so what I'm telling you that atheism is what it is and how it's best understood in philosophy. Not absolute, but best understood. You're telling me that is the way that I'm using these terms is wrong.
Because it's more confusing.
That's not a wrong or right. That is just an evaluation based on your opinion, subjective opinion. That doesn't make it right or wrong.
Okay.
Wrong is a value judgment.
Is the definition of a word or how we use the word an opinion or fact?
Well, first of all, if I say here's a word, here's a definition, it is a fact that it's using this definition for this word. But again, this word is not prescribed to me.
Understand that, but we're talking about the usages of the word.
Okay, so in philosophy,
an improper way of using a word.
What? I don't think you're getting this.
Is there a proper or improper way to use a word?
There's a best understood.
A best understood. So, yeah. Okay, fine. I will go with best understood and least understood.
Okay.
My way of using the word better understands the concept than your way of using the word. When I use the word atheism to mean lack of belief in a God, it's more understandable than using the word to only mean I believe no God exists.
All right, so let's take that. Okay, let's move into a little bit some other stuff. How much time? What do we have on time, James?
Let's see. I think if we go until about 1:45, we've got 30 minutes from 35 minutes from right now, and so if we want to transition into do you think that we've already talked about how these words should be used? Or is that what you want to
translate? Yeah. Well, I want to get into the problems with using his vernacular, right? Because I mean, I believe that we should all try to have a coherent framework, and there's some epistemic issues the way he's using them. I think those are important. But I will end it on this, that because the accepted way to understand the most accepted way to understand atheism as the belief that God doesn't exist, that makes a person who doesn't accept there's no God a weak theist, which would be a theist. And it's the same, and I want to clarify this especially for the people out there about why I think his terminology is doesn't make any sense to me, because if you accept that you're a weak theist and you call that atheist, then you have to accept that a weak theist would be a theist. So you have a theist who doesn't believe in a God, which makes kind of weird, and you have an atheist who doesn't believe that God doesn't exist, which is again kind of weird in philosophy, right? If a philosophy theist is somebody who believes there's a God, and an atheist is somebody who believes there's not a God, if you're a weak theist, you have a theist now who doesn't believe there's a God, and you have a weak atheist who is just atheist who doesn't believe there's not a God. That's some of the problems. But let's get into your issues here. Do you know what a theological and a cognitivist is?
No, I don't think I need to in this discussion.
Well, if you want to talk about, you have, again, my argument from the very beginning, and I stipulated this, if you use your terminology, you have to accept the baggage that comes along with it. So here's some of your baggage. A theological non-cognitivist is somebody who thinks the propositions are not propositions, that the whole God talk is meaningless. Okay, it's called a non-cognitivist position.
And that's not me.
I'm not. Did I say it was?
I didn't say that you said that I was.
I'm not inferring that it's you. But a theological non-cognitivist holds to the epistemic position that the entire talk is meaningless and that there is no proposition to be even had. So the God exists is not a proposition. We call that a non-cognitivist position. Atheism, even by your definitions, is a cognitivist position, meaning that you can express it propositionally as not believing the proposition. Would you agree with that?
Okay, sure, yeah.
Theological cognitivists do not believe in God. If you assign them to be an atheist, you have a category error, because now you have a non-cognitivist position being under a cognitivist position. That is a contradiction. Do you see that?
Yeah, okay. Explain to me what that the first part is. The cognitive whatchamacallit. And when I say that, I mean I want you to be extremely clear about what that person is. A person who does not believe that the proposition exists.
Even a they don't believe the proposition states a proposition. They don't think that it actually represents anything. It's a meaningless statement.
Ridiculous.
We're not evaluating whether the position is sensical or not. In morality, we have the same thing. They're called a moral non-cognitivist, an emotivist, a prescriptionist. These are all positions of.
And it doesn't matter if they believe that the proposition is real or not real or meaningless or meaningful. That has nothing to do with me. That's what they claim.
I'm telling you the error that you're having here. You're having a category error by using your definitions. How do you resolve that?
What's the error?
You have a non-cognitivist position that you're labeling as a cognitivist one.
No, I don't have a non-cognitivist position.
Oh, my God. Not you specifically. Okay, we're talking in generality here. There exists a theological non-cognitivist position. That means that the proposition is not an actual proposition. They hold a non-cognitivist point of view. If you're talking about morality, the analogy would be somebody who doesn't think that the proposition stealing is wrong is actually a proposition. A moral realist would say that that is a proposition and it's true or false. It's truth.
Right, and I would say that they're wrong.
I'm not asking you if it's right or wrong here. I'm telling you the difference between a cognitivist position and a non-cognitivist position. Okay, so a moral non-cognitivist says that the stealing is wrong is not a proposition at all. An emotivist would say boo on stealing. Okay, boo on stealing is not truth apt. It's not true or false.
It's a ridiculous position, though.
I'm not asking if it's your opinion if it's a ridiculous position or not. I'm telling you the position exists.
I understand what you're saying, that they have that position. But if their position is sensical, then what does that have to do with our conversation?
But the Duke, I think he's going there. It's just you got to let him have a little more time to give it.
Okay, I'll let him talk.
All right, so prescriptionist, these are all positions. You can go look them up. A prescriptionist says stealing is wrong is not a proposition. It just means don't steal. Atheism is a cognitivist position because it could be related in terms of proposition. You agree that the proposition God exists is a proposition, right?
Yes.
If you don't believe that, that is cognitive.
Because I don't believe that God exists.
Right. So that's a cognitivist position because you're saying the proposition is a proposition you're evaluating or attempting to. You're just throwing a no position on it. You're saying that I don't believe it.
I agree with you.
Okay. So atheism, you agree, is a cognitive position, correct?
Yes.
Not theological non-cognitivism is a non-cognitivist position, right?
And that means
that the proposition is not a proposition.
And I disagree with that. It is a proposition.
I don't care whether you agree or not with it. I'm trying to explain to you these two different propositions.
I know what you're saying. And what I'm saying is it's so ridiculous and whatever that it doesn't matter to what we're talking about. I don't have a categorical problem.
Let me try to make it very simple.
Can I say something now?
Because I think you're getting lost here, Duke, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not getting lost.
Let me wrap this up if I can, James.
That's absurd.
We'll try to give let's give Steve like one last shot at trying to explain.
Yeah, I really want people to understand.
I understand what he's saying.
Hold on. The Duke, Akim, frankly, I'm still kind of grasping it, to be honest. And so I'm thinking that there might be some people in the audience, too, that might be trying to grasp it. I'm not trying to say you don't get it.
So here's the category error, okay? Theological cognitivist is a non-cognitivist position. There's no question about that. That's material fact. Okay, it's a non-cognitivist position. Atheism is a cognitivist position. Okay, so you have a non-cognitivist and you have a cognitivist. They're incompatible with each other. You cannot take a non-cognitivist position and shove it into atheism, because atheism is a cognitive position. This is like saying I'm a moral non-cognitivist. I hold to emotivism, but I'm also a moral realist. That is nonsensical, right? Because a moral realist would say that morality has moral facts that are objective, right? So if I say that I'm a moral cognitivist, and I hold that morality is objective, right? I cannot be a moral non-cognitivist. It makes no sense. You're literally taking a non-cognitivist position and saying just because it lacks a belief, you're evaluating their entire epistemic meaning of why they hold that position and just nullifying it for your own agenda, ignoring the fact that it's a huge category error to say that you have a non-cognitivist position as a cognitivist position. And I hope people in the audience understands that. If not, they can ask me later. But my goal is to get people to understand by using your terminology, you have to accept the fact you're running into a contradiction.
No, I'm not.
Well, you may think that, but unfortunately,
you're
completely wrong on that.
And you're bringing up a position that is, like, what you're saying is a non-cognitive position.
Akim, I want to give you a quick chance to give a rebuttal, and then we'll go into the Q&A, okay?
Okay.
Just to let you guys know, because don't get me wrong, I hate cutting you guys off, but
that's fine.
So, Akim, go ahead. Thanks for letting me cut in.
Let's be clear. I'm sorry. Where can I be? Because I'm raising my voice. Okay. So, all right, I'm back. I'm very sorry about that, guys.
That's all right.
Okay. I would like to replace non-cognitive position with what it means. Instead of using that word, please tell me, use the exact same argument that you're making.
A person who doesn't think the propositions are even a proposition.
Do not believe that it's even a proposition, but it is.
That doesn't matter to them.
It does. I don't care about them. We're
not.
Oh,
you don't
about
care about their positions. Oh, screw them. It doesn't matter what they believe. You're forcing your own beliefs to them. Okay.
What someone believes and what's a fact are two different things.
These are. Oh, well, wait a minute here.
All right.
What's a fact? Okay, now you're going into a whole different territory because a person doesn't have to accept that a proposition is cognitively meaningful. Okay.
If I say
Urkel Blurkel Blopple. Is that true or not? Do you accept that proposition is true or false? No, you can say that's a meaningless proposition.
No, I would say it's a meaningless word that no one assigns a meaning.
Because and that makes the proposition meaningless. You're non-cognitive through that proposition.
We're not saying Urkel Blurkel Blurkel. We're talking about whether or not a God exists.
Oh my God,
you're using bad analogies, dude.
You're killing me, man.
Just because I don't understand
what
you're
saying. This is not that complicated, man.
You don't understand what you're talking about, dude.
So,
and I'm trying to make
clearly it's me who doesn't understand this.
No, yes, it's you that don't understand. Just because.
So wait a minute. Let me ask you this.
Oh my God! It's tough.
Well, you're telling me that I understand. So let me ask you this: how is it that I don't understand this when 5 minutes ago you never had heard of theological and cognitivism, and yet you're now?
Because when you explain it, it doesn't make sense. You've explained it to me.
I
said what it is, and what I'm trying to say is, it doesn't matter if someone is a cognitive or non-cognitive. Whether they believe the proposition exists or not. That doesn't matter when it comes to whether or not they're an atheist or a theist. What they believe has nothing to do with what's a fact.
All right, so 5 minutes ago, you didn't know any of these terms, and now you're kind of lecturing me on them.
First of all, do I understand what you're talking about now? You say no.
I have no idea at this point.
So we should probably...
Oh, so the goal is... Okay, all right. I'm still here.
I'm just hoping that the audience who listens to this later on, they get what I'm saying. It's not that complicated.
And I hope that people that are listening to this understand that what he's saying doesn't make any sense. That's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about the proper usages of words.
The proper uses of words. By whose standard?
Is that because there's some other category of people that has something about not believing whether the proposition is true or not has any effect on whether or not they believe something or not believe something and what category they fit in. And what I'm trying to say is that's not true. A person who doesn't believe the proposition exists has no bearing on whether or not they are agnostic or an atheist.
Okay. All right, so before we get to Q&A, I have one other thing, James, because this is really awesome to me. Do you think atheism could be true or false?
No, I don't think atheism could be true or false.
Okay, do you think theism could be true or false?
No, I don't think atheism can be true or false.
I'm done. I'm okay. At Q&A, because here's, you're now arguing that ontologically is not true or false whether God exists.
My God, this is not a proposition. Again, this is what you do on Twitter all the time. You talk to others using the exact definitions of the word.
I hate to cut in, Akim. So I definitely appreciate that you guys are spirited. You guys have passion because there's nothing worse than a boring debate. And this has been a spirited conversation. So I appreciate you guys. I really do. And I think that a lot of people...
God bless you, James. God bless you. Love your channel, man.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I know that a lot of people get uncomfortable with debates when it gets a little bit more... like we use the word heated, but I don't know. You could just say passionate.
This was passionate. This
is that
even,
it's like the good thing
this isn't full Twitter, Steve. Trust me. I get much worse.
The good thing is...
And I like Duke.
like in the past, or even sometimes today, like these things aren't done in civil discourse or debate. They're done in, like, you know, violence. And so this is actually, like, I call it progress of humanity. Like, we're doing fine. So
yeah, and he kicked my ass. I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
And he so could one-inch punch me.
So I appreciate it. This has been a great time. So we do have a lot of questions. We're going to try to speed through these as fast as we can. We got until quarter two, so I'm going to go really fast. So thanks so much for your super chats. Totally appreciate it. Stefan Steen, let me know if I'm mispronouncing it, said, Steve said I had too much time on my hands. Laugh out loud.
He does. He comes up with these memes and these gifs, and they're incredible. And so he has entirely too much time on his hands to be doing that kind of stuff. But I love him. Don't stop.
Totally appreciate that. Thanks for that. And Snake was right. Thanks for your super chat. He said, my position is that the theist claims are badly formulated and fail the burden of proof. I have no other opinions about God's existence. What am I?
Okay, run that by me again. He has no other positions on what?
He said, my position is that the theist's claims are badly formulated and fail the burden of proof. I have no other opinions about God's existence, so what am I?
Well, you're anything that you label yourself to be. But if you're asking me how that would be understood in philosophy, I would put that under what's called evidential agnosticism.
Gotcha. And then, Duke, you can answer too, because they never actually specified who they'd want an answer from. So, Kim, if you have one, an answer.
What category he falls into?
Yeah, if he only thinks that the theist fails the burden of proof in their claims.
It doesn't matter what the theist says or claims. What matters is what he believes. If he believes in a God, then he's a theist. If he doesn't, he's an atheist. Now, if he doesn't believe the theist claims and fails to believe in a God, then he's an atheist. That's it. It leaves room for nuance. It doesn't mean you've made a claim. It doesn't mean that if you fail to believe in a God, you claim there is no God.
Gotcha.
Nobody's arguing that. Next. Yeah, nobody's arguing that.
Stefan Steen, and we'll give you a chance to respond to Kim or Steve if it addresses you. Some of these are frank, but they're not brutal. So he just said, Duke doesn't realize Steve won before the debate began. So if you want to respond to Kim, you can. You don't look like you believe him, Kim. So if you want to respond, you can.
Well, first of all, I believe that Steve probably has more fans than I do. So they probably believe him.
Oh, I have a lot more detractors, too.
But if it's a failure that I have convinced them that he's wrong, I would like to say that I wish we had a little bit more time to speak our piece, because we've been talking about philosophy this entire time and have been ignoring the other group of atheists in the atheist community that do not respond to anything that has anything to do with philosophy. I've agreed with him about how philosophers use the terms, and I disagree with the philosophers.
Gotcha.
And that's it.
You got it. Thank you very much. Sorry.
Yeah, can I add on that real quick?
Like, if it's super short and pithy.
Real short. When you're using these topics, this is you cannot talk about theism and not and say it has to do with philosophy. These are philosophical discussions. Period. If you talk about the word theism, you're in the realm of philosophy. You cannot extricate that from that. That's
wonderful.
Like saying,
I think when you're,
yeah. So I want to point that out.
Wonderful. When you're talking about the existence of God, we're talking about philosophy.
So
but we're talking about the uses of the words and how people use the words. It's not really that philosophical.
I got a sorry to cut in on you guys. So we got Snake Was Right said, thanks for your super chat. He said, isn't it Gnostic atheism in philosophy? Maybe I wonder if part of it got cut off, but I think I got the whole question. Isn't it Gnostic atheism?
The way Gnostic atheist is generally inferred, if you use that type of epistemic modification, it means, or inferred to be, somebody who not just holds a belief that there are no gods, but also knows or claiming knowledge that they have no gods. It's modifying. If you have a position, like, for example, like theism, the theism is going to be the position that there's a God. That's just a belief claim. Okay. So when he's talking about a theist who believes there's a God is making a claim about ontology that the God exists. So if they modify that with knowledge, saying that I just merely don't believe, I also know, because knowledge is a subset of belief. You have to believe something before you can know it. Then they're modifying that. So a Gnostic theist is generally understood if they're using that terminology. I don't particularly care for it, but it's fine. They're saying that that they don't just have the belief, they also know. They're modifying that belief. to raise it to a higher thing of knowledge.
And you agree with that or not?
Weird. I hate to, like, I'm so sorry, guys. Just to try to fly through as many as we can. We got 20 minutes left. Forgive me, but writer John Buck, thanks for your super chat. He says, Steve's just a secret Christian apologist, LOL. So, nice.
I know, I'm going polytheist. Ocean is taking me under his wing. Only because I think Odin is really cool. Not that I think he exists, but...
Super interesting.
I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, Odin's pretty cool, man.
An Odin apologist.
He's very wise.
Sigifrido, Sarabia, thanks so much for your super chat. He says, if everyone used colloquial terms and the beliefs are neither true or false, even though that itself is believed, how is someone judged, right or wrong, without shared meaning of at least some definitions?
Yeah, well, right or wrong are value judgments, right? I mean, I think he's agreed that how I'm using these terms is consistent with the literature. Now, I've had atheists argue that I'm using them incorrect in relationship to the literature. I think we've established that's not the case. Anybody who thinks
that's dishonest, Steve.
Well, I'm not saying you are. I'm saying that there are atheists that have done that. That's not dishonest. That's a fact.
Your argument is dishonest.
My argument's dishonest?
About the literature as if people are defending or saying something about the literature. And they're not talking about the literature at all. And that's what I've been saying this entire time.
I'm telling you what atheists have argued with me, okay? I've done this for 6 years. I can tell you for a fact. I got people in the live chat that can tell you for a fact. Atheists have made videos on this saying that the way I'm using these terms are inconsistent with the literature.
And what I'm saying is that what you're saying to me, knowing that I am not talking about the literature, that I have different literature, other atheists that defend the term atheism as how I define it, use completely different literature. They don't use yours. So when you go on Twitter making debates,
okay. When I say the literature, I'm meaning the body of evidence that's in the field, peer-reviewed papers, the journals. Those are the literature that I'm referring to. That when I say the literature, that's what I'm talking about in academia, not what American Atheist puts out as a blog. That's not the literature.
Gotcha. Thank you.
This is why colloquial gets confusing, because I use terms specifically for a reason, and yet people are like, oh, well, I'm using it a very general way. That's what leads to confusion. You just saw an example of that. When I say the literature, if I was in biologist and I say the literature, I'm talking about peer-reviewed literature about biology. Go ahead.
Go real quick. Writer John Buck says, Duke's just avoiding making positive assertions. If you want to respond, Duke, you can, or Akim.
Yes, okay. What I'm doing is being honest about my position, all right? Now, it's very possible that we have a word, I'm using a word to encompass a bunch of different people. People who assert there is no God is an atheist. People who believe that have no idea if there's a God but just don't believe it is an atheist. I'm not running away from anything. You can ask me any question you want and I'll answer it as honest as I can. But the terminology that I'm using is all-encompassing of all people in trying to understand the diversity of this belief that we have. So if I'm avoiding something, ask that question and I'll answer.
Gotcha. We definitely understand. Thanks so much. And thanks for that super chat, writer John Buck. Next one. Sigifrido Sarabia, thanks so much for your super chat. He asks, where does agnosticism get its epistemic facts to say, quote-unquote, agnosticism is true, if the propositions of theism or atheism are not found to be true or false?
Great question. Agnosticism is not true or false. Agnosticism is defined, well, I'm going to say agnosticism is best understood as a psychological state of being agnostic on the proposition. And as I told you guys earlier, you don't evaluate psychological states, right? This is why we make them propositional. Atheism and theism is propositional. Agnosticism is not propositional. That is a psychological state. So you cannot say agnosticism is true or false. That's a great question on that, though.
Gotcha.
And Steve is wrong.
Writer
John. I keep telling me I'm wrong, but I've seen no evidence of this.
Writer John.
Not one citation that I'm wrong on anything.
Yeah, writer John Buck, thanks for your super chat. He said, Duke lacks both lacks belief, but also lacks disbelief. Thus, cannot be both an atheist and an agnostic.
Right, he'd be an agnostic in philosophy.
Agnosticism is not talking about belief. It's talking about knowledge.
No, that's incorrect. I mean, not with respect to the theist. Agnosticism is a state, per Stanford Encyclopedia, agnosticism is the position of the psychological belief of being agnostic on the proposition.
According
you don't have
to
belief
your definition again.
According to Stanford. Now, if you
according
think Stanford's
Stanford,
wrong, I need evidence that Stanford's
How
wrong.
How about the Bible's my authority? What if I use the Bible as my authority?
Oh, my God. All right, so you're just literally saying that Stanford's
authority.
Wrong. So you're saying Stanford's right or wrong on this?
I'm saying, so you do you believe that every institution is correct?
You see, this is what really kind of.
Do you believe that every institution is correct?
I'm asking you a very specific question. You don't have to accept Stanford. Do you agree that's what Stanford says?
No, I don't.
You don't agree that's what Stanford says? I have the quote right here. Stanford is like.
I don't agree what Stanford says. You don't have to say it. I'm telling you right now. I don't.
You agree that's what it says?
What?
Do you agree that's what it says?
Agreeing with what it says and agreeing with.
I understand the difference, Duke. Oh my God.
Agreeing with what it says are two different things, Steve.
I understand the difference.
Stop being dishonest.
I think if you agree with it or not, trust me.
Forgive me, guys.
I'm
so sorry.
Stanford says something and I say, I agree. That's what the website says.
That's what I want
to
know. Do you agree with
that? Doesn't mean I agree with what it says.
You guys, I'm so sorry. I've never had it be so spirited. I appreciate that you guys are passionate. I just saw a quick cut in. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
So, Sigifredo Sarabia, thanks so much. For your super chat. And definitely, like, we'd be willing to host a part two if you guys want, because I hate cutting in. Like, honestly, it kills me to do it. But
no, this is fine. This is great. You're doing wonderful.
Sigifredo Sarabia asks, how does someone live consistently when they believe there, quote unquote, are no gods and still have an, quote unquote, absence of belief to be called agnostic to affirm a claim?
I have no idea what that meant.
So I think, so how does someone live consistently when they believe that there are no gods and also have an absence of belief? How are they consistently called an agnostic?
All right, let me try to parse it. I think they were saying agnostics do not believe in God, okay? Because again, going back to that dichotomy, you believe God exists or you do not believe God exists. Agnostics fall in the do not believe category. Okay, so they're not fence sitting between believe and not believe. I think it's a mistake that some atheists, for some reason, think that agnosticism is a fence position on belief and not belief. It's not. It is the fence position between I do not believe P. Excuse me, it's a fence position between I believe P is true and I believe P is false. He's a fence sitter. Duke is a fence sitter if he doesn't believe that gods don't exist. He's literally in the same position as any agnostic. Would you agree with that, Duke?
That I'm an agnostic.
So you're a fence sitter.
I don't agree with your definition, but I do call myself an agnostic.
Okay, but you do agree that you're sitting on the fence between belief and disbelief.
Are you asking me if I'm a strong atheist or a weak atheist?
I'm not asking you either. I'm asking you if you're on the fence, an agnostic like myself is on the fence between belief that is true and belief that is false. Because belief that is true and belief that is false is not a dichotomy.
I'm a fence sitter, yes.
Okay, so I want to make that very clear. The way I'm using these terms, and you can go look these things up, theism and atheism is not held to be a dichotomy. It's held to be what's called a contradictories. What that means is if atheism is true, theism is false. And if theism is false, atheism is true.
But atheism can't be true or false.
Let me finish. I'm telling you how it is in the literature. I'm not using your terminology. Don't interrupt me. I'm serious because I'm not using your
terminology. I'm not going to play by your game. I don't believe the way you define these terms.
James, can I get some moderation?
I'm so sorry, guys. It's kind of important. I think just to read as many questions as we can. I know it's important, but I have to ask if we could just keep going with the questions because we have limited time. I'm really sorry about that.
All right, that's fair enough. But again, they're contradictories, not dichotomy.
I'd be happy to have you guys both on again. I'm so sorry. So this one, I can't pronounce the name, but we thank you for your super chat. They asked, why is Steve appealing to word salad from institutions that have been invaded and conditioned by Christian apologists?
Correct.
Okay, Paul Draper is an atheist who wrote the article for Stanford Encyclopedia. Dr. Graham Oppie, who wrote Atheism and Agnosticism, is an atheist. Almost every citation I use is from atheists, with some exceptions. Malik is a theist. But there have not been this is a weird conspiracy theory that somehow that these institutions have been, have theism involved in it. No, these are strong atheists that I'm quoting. So they do not believe there's a God. Graham Oppie, who I've had on my channel, hopefully we'll have Paul Draper on one of these days. But Graham Oppie, he uses the terminologies I use. He's not a theist. So that's just a conspiratorial weird statement.
Gotcha. Next, we have Snake Was Right, who says, agnosticism can be theist or non-theist.
Agnosticism can be what?
Theist or non-theist.
Not in philosophy. Agnostic is, again, the position
We're not arguing about philosophy.
This is all about philosophy.
But we're not arguing about philosophy.
Sorry.
That's
I'm sorry,
things,
Akim.
That's why
I'm
it's dishonest.
Akim, no, please forgive me, Akim.
I love how he thinks it's dishonest that I'm actually telling you how it actually is in philosophy. That's just weird.
I totally understand. So if you wanted to respond to that, I'm not sure who it exactly was for, but thanks for your super chat. Snake was right, and whoever thinks that it was for them, you can answer or give a response. I think
what was
Steve
it? What
already,
was super chat?
That was the one that agnosticism can be theist or non-theist. Maybe you already felt like you answered it.
Yeah, if agnosticism is a psychological position of being agnostic on P, theism is a position that you hold a position, so it makes no sense to say that.
Gotcha.
It makes sense to
Next
me.
One
because
is
agnostic
Snake
is about
right.
knowledge.
I'm so sorry to keep moving as fast as possible.
Yeah,
Snake
he keeps
was right.
saying that, but I don't think he understands
Snake,
the difference between
your
epistemological proposition.
I don't think you understand
Snake
that
right
you said. I
don't think
our
Go ahead, James. I've never had. I love your guys' gusto. You guys have a lot of gusto.
Go ahead, James.
Snake was right says atheists don't necessarily accept not P. They reject specific claims for P because they can meet the burden of proof. Or they can't meet the burden of proof. Sorry about that. Atheists don't necessarily... So this is starting over. Atheists don't necessarily accept not P. They reject specific claims for P because they can't meet the burden of proof. That doesn't describe agnosticism.
That is evidential agnosticism.
Okay.
No, it's not.
And then writer
yeah,
John
it literally
Buck,
is. Go look it up.
Writer John Buck, thanks for your super chat. Says another $5 for a great topic and great debate. Good job, you guys. So thanks so much for your encouragement. And yeah, all credit to the debaters. This has been really fun to listen to. I've enjoyed it. And Stefan Steen, thanks so much for your super chat, who says source Dillahunty 316 atheist equals non theist. And I'm not sure who that's
yeah,
for.
That the problem with that is I have a logical proof that means rocks are atheist, which I think is absurd.
Gotcha. Sigifredo Saravia, thanks for your super chat. He says, "Ask, is it okay in philosophy to put a p-value in everything?"
I don't know what that means. P just means proposition. That's all. That's all it means.
You got it. Josh Brister, Apologist Supreme, is back. He says, "I'm debating Graham Oppie on March 19th, Tuesday. On Red Pill Religion."
Yeah, I heard.
That's going to be interesting. We are excited for it. Normally, I wouldn't... plug it, but since it was a super chat, I'll honor the super chat. So, Josh, I hope it goes well. I hope that you have a productive conversation.
I like Oppie.
Yeah, I've heard
nice
nothing
guy.
But good things. Yeah, Sully Sullivan, thanks for your super chat. Says Steve, when you say the non-cognitivist doesn't believe, quote, you with an asterisk are making the category error. They don't quote unquote not believe or quote unquote believe.
Both. See, I'm not making a category. Now, trust me, go ask a logician if you think that I am. I've had this discussion numerous times with them. Okay, so there's no, I'm not making the category error. By saying that atheists lack a belief, theological cognitivists lack a belief, they're in the same set. They're in the set of all things that lack a belief. Okay? But an atheist is now saying that anything that lacks a belief is an atheist, which means that you have a non-cognitivist position being labeled as a cognitivist one. That's the category. It's not that complicated.
It's a really interesting question. That's got me thinker. And then Edward Marquez asks, is a newborn human baby considered an atheist or agnostic?
If neither.
Before I go in, that's the very first thing that came into my head, and it's wonderful that you brought that up. Because I think a baby is probably a better example than a rock. The only reason why I would say a rock is not an atheist is because I define an atheist as a person who does not believe in a god or god. But people who make that, who bring up the rock, is trying to bring up the understanding that non-belief is non-belief. A rock doesn't have a brain, so it doesn't believe. And that's the argument they're making. But a baby makes more sense. No, a baby can't speak, so he can't really articulate what he believes or doesn't believe. But I think it's fair to say that all theist claims will fall short to the understanding of a baby. So a baby would be an atheist because they've never heard the claim of a god. It just doesn't believe. You don't have to hear the claim at all to be an atheist.
All right, let me fully disagree with that. First of all, I agree with Graham Oppie on this. Dr. Oppie calls babies innocent. You cannot assign a theological position to a baby because babies have not evaluated the claim.
You don't have to be assigned. You're in
that.
Let's
just
give him a chance.
Stop interrupting me, please. You're saying because of your
degree. Stop being dishonest.
You keep on insinuating I'm a dishonest when I'm telling you facts you can go look up. These are material facts. Ram Oppie argues, and I agree with him, that babies are innocent. They haven't evaluated the proposition. Agnostics require an evaluation. You have to literally suspend judgment. If you have the argument that babies are non-theist, which is fine, theist or not theist, right? That is a dichotomy. You can say babies are non-theist. I have a blog on this, again, on 3AM Philosophy, www.greatdebatecommunity.com. You can go find this. That the most you can say about a baby is that they're non-theist. If you assign not theist to be an atheist, such as you're making a dichotomy of atheism and theism, then everything that's not a theist, including rocks, quarks, chairs, are now atheist, into that type of schema. This is what I find to be absurd. You can accept that. I don't accept that because I think it's an absurd schema. But you're making a definitive argument that babies are atheist when a theist could make the same argument that they're theist because of Romans 1. If you want to accept that paradigm, you want to accept that schema, then you have to allow theists to make their argument. I don't accept either schema.
You're not understanding my position. Yeah.
I do understand your position. I've been doing this a very long time.
No, you don't understand my position.
I really do.
I've been saying this from the very beginning, that atheism is not a claim. A baby's not making
you claim. Just assert that. All right, James.
This is not a claim.
Just to move
You don't
through,
have to make the claim
to move
either
through
way.
As many as
you don't
possible.
Have to hear the proposition.
Good luck, James.
You don't have to know about the proposition.
I got to move. I'm so sorry to keep moving through the questions. We got a super chat that just came in. Thanks so much, Chad Eckerd, for your super chat. And I think – I'm not sure if this is a challenge. I think they're maybe challenging in a friendly way. They said, I want to take a polite position against Steve. So if it's a challenge, we'd love to host it. Otherwise,
what's position wants to take?
I would guess he's like arguing again in the same topic, but I'm not sure. Or maybe he just a position of politeness.
email James on it and give me your what you want to talk about.
We'd love to have you, Chad. So thanks so much for that super chat. And the next question, Stickman Sam asked question for Steve: would agnostics count as functional atheists, i.e., living their lives as though there's no God?
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, functional atheism is a way that it's described. Now, again, I don't use these terms myself, but the way a functional atheist would be is somebody who just lives their life like there's no God. That's fine. But I'm also a functional. Yeah, I mean, well, no, I guess one would be. So because they don't believe, right? So, but again, going back to that whole argument of if you don't accept either proposition, God exists or God does not exist, you're weak theist, you're weak atheist. These are different schemas, but yeah, that's generally what functional atheism would be construed as. Yeah.
Gotcha. Stefan Steen, thanks so much for your super chat, who said, just because James is such a good moderator. That means a lot. Thanks so much, Stefan. We're glad to have you here. And I have to say, I'll say it quickly so we can get to more questions, but you have no idea how many people in the super chat help with ideas and just new ways of moderating, like suggestions. And even the criticisms, I really appreciate. It's been so helpful. So thanks for that. And Stickman Sam, so I'm going to skip over a few of these so we can try to get to as many different people as we can. J.R. Ammon asked, for both speakers, why is this important to you? What's at stake? Why does the issue get emotionally charged?
I can answer that in 3 seconds. I like to have a coherent framework. I like to be consistent. And if I think that if atheism is going to be the positions that take the higher epistemic value and to have higher reasoning and better logic and want to actually argue from a position of higher rationality, which they claim, they should have a consistent system. And I think that defining things the way that Duke does is inconsistent. It produces obviously category errors that I've demonstrated, and also produces absurdities like rocks or atheists. And I don't find that to be very coherent. I like to have a coherent ontology. That's all.
You got it? How about you, Akin?
Okay. So if this was about any other thing, it really wouldn't be that big of a deal. Like, I wouldn't get so passionate or angry about it if we're talking about what a word means and how we should use it. But the fact is, it's wrapped up in identity. So whether or not someone wants to be called something, people want to be known by that identity. And to make it clear, the people who are against that identity want to define it. So feminist, I think, is a good example. How many women have you ever met who believe that women should have equal rights in politics and equal rights in the workplace and should be treated equally, don't want to be called a feminist? Because they've been convinced by anti-feminists that feminism is bad. And I feel that's the same thing when it comes to being an atheist. There are institutions that want you to believe that atheism or atheists are evil and are falling into sin. And so they made it this campaign to convince everyone who calls themselves someone who lacks a belief in God are really agnostics, and that they sit in the fence and just don't have the knowledge. And all they need is the word of God to become a follower of Christ. It's not honest, it's nefarious, and it's not right. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm holding on to it for that sake alone. I'm breaking the word down. Theism, A, non-belief in God, not belief in God, they both don't believe in the God. So what's the big deal? The church makes it a big deal. Christianity makes it a big deal. Islam makes it a big deal. Atheists deserve to die because they don't believe. So that's why I'm passionate about it. I am taking a definition. I assign it to myself, so I'm defining it myself.
Yeah, that's strange because I don't believe either. And
I don't want to be defined by the Christian right, and I don't want to be defined by somebody who is being dishonest. Who I'm not going to get into a rant.
But wait, do you think do you think I'm dishonest for being agnostic? I don't believe either. I'm in the same boat as all non-believers. What am I being dishonest about?
Because what you're saying is that a non-believer is not an atheist.
Sorry. I hate to interrupt.
All atheists are non-believers, dude. I don't know why.
Are you an atheist?
I hope you guys.
No.
That's what I mean. You're being dishonest.
I have to explain this, James. Wait. I really do.
Okay, if it's like, good. I have to just be the absolute last thing, just because it was a dishonesty claim. I'll let Steve have like a minute or two, and then we have to wrap up. I'm so sorry.
Anybody can go look this up. And in my wrap up, I just have something I want to. I want my wrap up.
Okay.
This is a fact. You can go. This is a material fact. All atheists lack a belief. Not all who lack a belief are atheists. Period. That's a material fact. Well, you can say it's wrong, but it's a material fact.
It's not a material fact. You're wrong.
I'm so sorry.
People can go look at that. That's the truth.
Let's just give Steve like literally like 30 seconds, and then I have to go. I'm so sorry. I have to run to be somewhere at 4 mountain time.
All right. So this is our wrap up. I won't be very long.
If you're able to be like super short and pithy.
Yeah, real quick. So wrap up. Duke has agreed that this is how it's used in philosophy. Therefore, people that use philosophical terms, like myself, I can lack a belief and not be an atheist per philosophical terms. Therefore, the statement, all atheists lack a belief, which is true, all agnostics lack a belief as well, but not all who lack a belief are atheists, because I'm holding to different definitions and different uses of these words than him. Therefore, by doing so, not all who lack a belief are atheists, because we can hold different definitions, because these words are polysemous. And I want to correct him on one thing. Agnosticism has three things that it can mean: a normative epistemological position, which is similar to evidentialism or logical positivism by Douglas Huxley. It could be an epistemological proposition, which is, does the God knowledge, can you know of God, or does, can we know God exists? That's the epistemological proposition. And it's also the psychological state of being agnostic on the proposition. When you're saying something along the lines of I'm agnostic, we're talking about atheism and theism. We're talking about not having a position on either of those. So we're not talking about the epistemological proposition. We're talking about the psychological state of being agnostic on the proposition. And you're conflating those when you say agnosticism just deals with knowledge. You're making the mistake because you don't understand that agnosticism is just as polysemous as atheism, and it can be construed as one of those three different ways. And I have that blog. I'll put that in the live chat right now. Called Agnosticism Three Ways. I suggest people go read it so they understand what agnosticism can possibly mean. But how this I'm using it is the third one of this, the position that you don't have position on the proposition. There you go.
I think with that, I'm so sorry. I think we have to have it end somewhere. And so I have to ask if we can end it there.
I rushed that because I know you're in a hurry.
I'm so sorry to do that to you guys. I'm willing to host you guys again. We could definitely have another. I think people would really enjoy it. I think people really enjoyed this overall. And so, and also given that we had Duke start, we'll just kind of let Steve wrap up with that. And so, thank you both. I can't express enough how much I appreciate the debaters coming here. And we know they're passionate, but they intrinsically enjoy the debates, but we're glad they chose to intrinsically enjoy them with us today. And so I want to let you know, everybody, their links are down in the description. So Akim, or the Duke, has his Twitter down in the description, and then Steve has his YouTube channels down in the description. So thank you so much, everybody, and thank you so much again to the debaters, though, just for giving your time here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks, guys, and take care, and have a great Sunday.
Right, thanks, Duke. I'm looking forward to reading the comments later on this.
All right,
later, guys.
Take care, guys.